If I disappear, viva la Mexico.
Kiwi is chomping on a bone. I put that out to distract you. You didn't need to sit right beside me.
Let me keep you company with the sound of my chewing.
I am good.
Are you sure about that? Loaded question.
I had a little cry this morning, so that was fun.
Money's hard, man.
Super fun.
That's been a lot of unlearning for me.
Price changes, associating our value to whether clients stay with us.
I was so scared that I was going to lose all my clients. Oh, wait, no, that's not personal.
Such an Aquarius trait, fiercely loyal. Once you cut us, though, really. Like, bye.
That person. Half the time, people don't even want to do the workout. We can get into that in the podcast that we should start, probably. Yeah. I really wish I wouldn't have gone for a run outside because it's giving tomato.
You definitely don't look tomato.
This seems like a perfect day to go running outside. No, it is 90% humidity today. Welcome to Divine Whining, the podcast for the evolved basic bitch. Happy Wednesday, everybody. It's Kristen. I am here today on the co-host mic with my barn buddy. We're already giggling. This is good. This is a good start. With my barn buddy, with my friend, fellow trainer extraordinaire. She's a performance coach. She's an amateur equestrian, but I don't even know why you call yourself that anymore. I feel like you're so much further than amateur, but it's fine. We're going to get to that too. I have the strong rider with me, Nardine Oaks.
Thank you. I love that we're already laughing and stuff, but I'm like, thank you. Yes, I am an adult amateur. And yes, thank you. We are all of those things. I don't know why am I blushing?
See, it's giving tomato. Con tomat, as they say with tomato in Mexico.
Yeah. Look at me getting blushing over a compliment about my riding. Thank you.
Look, I feel like it doesn't matter. Like, world. We're not that old, but like, it is one of those things that I feel like you, like me, you always were around horses, but like, you didn't start riding until later in life, like really riding. And that's also my story. We can totally dive into that. But before we do that though, I really want people to understand your business and your brand because it's something that I am obviously massively aligned in. But yeah, take the reins, girlfriend.
So the Strong Rider is all about empowering women to just love their bodies and be super confident in their bodies, confident to do whatever they want to do around the house. And, you know, when they hop in that saddle, to just be like, whatever my horse is going to throw at me, like, I got this. Because that's what I feel. And, you know, when I hop in the saddle, I've ridden a lot of horses that nobody else wanted to ride. And, you know, my body looks after me. Like, I haven't fallen off in a really long time. I shouldn't say that.
Bob is like, challenge accepted.
Yeah. Should have fallen off at least 3 times last week, but didn't, which was nice. But like, you know, I generally just hop in and I'm like, all right, you're strong, you're fit, you've got coordination, you've got good balance, like my body's going to look after me. And I guess like the other piece of the Strong Rider is just, you know, when I started the business, it genuinely made me sad to listen to stories when I'd go to the barn, just how like broken people were with their bodies, you know, and like knees and backs and ankles and all of the stuff. And so people were asking me for advice all the time. And I genuinely be like, you know, obviously people can't see my face, but, you know, I'd just be like, that's what your body feels like. I was like, oh my gosh, I might get off, my horse and be like, wow, that was a good ride. Like, you know, I felt like I worked hard in that, but like, I don't get off and feel like an 80-year-old lady and who can't feel their knees and their backs absolutely like burning in pain and stuff. And I genuinely can't relate to that. Like, unless there's been something, you know, I gave myself whiplash a couple of weeks ago, that was like a cause and effect versus just day-to-day life. And I am proud that I am 42. And my body is good. My body looks after me. Obviously, I have done a lot to look after it, but like, that's what I want to inspire in like female equestrians, is just that, you know, whatever the body shape that you have can be a strong, fit, healthy body. And like, I've just had so many cool wins lately. you know, like one of my riders sent me this awesome text at the start of the week where every year she has to ask her husband to move her parents' winter tires. And she's a very, very tiny human, like height-wise, just everything. She is very petite. And so she was saying like the shelf where the tires have to go on is like at her shoulder height, which is an overhead press, right? And tires are heavy. And she was like, for the first time ever, I did it by myself. And she was like, it felt so good. And I was like, yes, anytime we don't have to ask a man to do something good, it's a win. I will always celebrate that. And I was like, her husband's lovely, don't get me wrong. He like 100% encourages her workouts and everything. But like, side note, I am always going to celebrate when we like don't have to ask a guy to be like, can you do this, because we're like physically limited. Which was just like amazing. And then I got a text last night from, again, one of my clients that literally, I spoke on my stories, like brought me to tears. And I'll try not to cry like talking about it, but she got very vulnerable with me, talked about some of her insecurities. And it was just like, I know this wasn't the focus on weight loss and that, but she was like, for the first time, I'm like looking in the mirror and I love what I see back.
So hell like, yeah.
Thank you. And I was like, oh, I just, you know.
Woo, we went in there like right away. Best. We dove in right away. But you know what? I get
like
that.
Best feeling.
You know, but it is, because like, I mean, I think I've shared this on this podcast before, but like when I got into fitness myself and when I became a personal trainer, I had this idea that I only wanted to work with elite athletes and mm-hmm. I only wanted to work with the best of the best. And I only wanted to work with people that were like high performance, go hard or go home. Like I had such a crazy mentality around it. And I think that's because like I myself not really realizing, and I'm going to use the word, how privileged I was to be just always in shape. And that was from years of dancing and always being an active kid and things that I just took for granted for my whole life.
Yeah.
And I got in with the same sort of go hard, go home mentality. And the first client I ever took on was somebody who was like, I just want to walk up a flight of stairs without feeling like I'm going to pass out. Yeah. And she changed my life. Like she changed my life. And my entire career trajectory after that, because it was all about finding, and I realized that was so much more meaningful than like helping somebody who was already fit, like get one more ab or, you know, like, don't get me wrong. We love some abs every once in a while, but like, it changed my whole life. And it's the same thing. Like I started operating from a place of those client wins of like, oh wow, like this is so beneficial to your entire well-being. And more importantly, like your soul and your mental well-being than just your, and the physical is a byproduct.
Yeah, 100%. Like it's there and we're obviously focused on improving it, but like those other personal wins, like when someone just feels energetically so much better about themselves, like that is validating, right? And it is those like wins. And when I worked in New Zealand and I was like fresh out of university, one of my jobs that I worked in for a number of years was working with at-risk populations. So it was called Green Prescription. And so we'd go to these community centers and they had gyms and literally, you know, like you'd work with every disease you could imagine. They had like 10 medications, everything. And then in the evening, I'd go work with Olympic athletes. And it was just like this crazy contrast. But like, I know that those years working with that population is what made me into the coach that I am today. Like it wasn't working with Olympic athletes. It was those people who taught me, just to see someone graduate and stand on that thing and be like, I can pick up my grandkids. I can now walk with, you know, without using an inhaler. Like those were some of my best years because it taught me to appreciate, like you said, I've always been active, always been competitive. Take for granted the body that I've got, and like it was just so humbling, and they just were so grateful as well. Like they just were like, you know, thank you so much. And not that my Olympic athletes aren't grateful.
It's cool working. Don't get me wrong. It's cool working with people like that too. You're just like, whoa, you're a freak of nature. Like this is so like, it's inspiring in a different way, but it's funny. Talking about my tomato face pre-pod, and your tomato face is the started and I, you know, made you blush, but I went for a run before this. And as I was outside running, cause I never used to be a runner. And one of the reasons I was never a runner is because it was really, really hard for me. It was just something that never felt good in my body. And by the way, I'm not saying that we should all go out and do things that like hurt our bodies. Let me be very clear. But I had the thought while I was running, and I was actually going to make a post about it, is running for me is the closest I've ever felt to being humbled by like, my body doesn't move this way. It doesn't work this way.
Yeah.
And I had a moment of deep appreciation for every client that I've ever worked with who has never tried to move their body outside of like your normal get up, go to work, come home, go to bed.
Yeah.
Because to the point that we're both making, like we always were active, we always were fit. It was just always inherently in us. It was like we were, I also think it's like a generational thing too. Like, you know, I'm 34, you're 42. I'm still of the age where like the internet wasn't around when I was born. So like we went outside and we played and we biked and we did things and we moved our bodies where like, and, but I feel like the generation above you, like our parents' generation was of the generation where like women didn't move their bodies. They were either skinny or they weren't, or they got plump as time went on. There was no support for movement. So we're in this really interesting time now where I love that fitness is being promoted to younger individuals. And I go to the gym now. I went to the gym at like 7 p.m. on a Thursday and it was all high school kids. So I was like, oh,
wow.
I am geriatric. But it was also really cool to see them. And I was like, damn, I wish I would have found the gym when I was, you know, 16 years old.
Yeah, for sure. Yeah, like, and it's such a, and I think like there's also like a gap as well, like in the last, I want to say sort of 10 years, like I think in terms of super active kids, but like not looking after their body and that appreciation versus like that, like the same age who are like really like into it and learning and things like that. Like, I went and presented at a high school and the age was like 13, 14. And I just like my opening line every time I did this presentation was like, put your hand up if you have to tape anything on your body. And like, it used to blow my mind and all these hands go up, right? Maybe one or two. And I was like, you're 13. There is no reason you should be having to put tape on your body unless you like literally rolled your ankle yesterday and like, you know, you got some support. I was like, you're 13. You should not be doing that with your body. Get strong. And like, and then I take them how to do a squat, how to do a lunge, a push up. And it was hilarious because I'd just be like, what am I looking at right now? Like,
what did PE in high school actually do? Literally nothing. Right? Remember like, those fitness tests? Gosh. I don't know what yours were like in New Zealand, but ours in Canada were not the vibe. It was just a lot of running around and not a lot of actual functional movement. The did you guys have the flexibility test? Do you remember the flexibility?
Sit and reach. The sit and reach. Touch the wall and stuff.
Yeah.
Yeah. Some so weird strange. Ones, but, so weird. It's nice to see that gap has then, you know, we do actually have young people who know how to squat and lunge and stuff. But yeah, it's like wild. I was just like, this is not a good answer. Like, but it never shocked me. It should, but it didn't. And I was just like, well, we're just out here just taping up our bodies, hoping it's going to just get better. But, and like, I will, I guess at that point, you know, splash back to our equestrian community to be like, that's where they're at, right? And they're grown adults who are like, we'll just tape this up and it'll disappear. You know, take some Advil, it'll disappear eventually, right?
I feel like equestrians are a different kind of go hard or go home mentality. Yeah. They're just kind of like, well, my back's always going to hurt and I'm always going to have this and I'm probably going to fall off. And like, you know, as you get older, the fall feels further away. Like there is a mental... that is true, by the way. The older you get, the fall does feel like the ground is much further away. It doesn't matter what size of horse you are. It really does hit differently. But on that note, what got you into riding?
Yeah. So I am very lucky. I have been around horses my whole life. So we used to have a horse on the farm, and her name was Blondie. She was the best. She was like a giant draft cross gray thing that my dad would like bring up to the fence, and I'd climb up the fence and just hop on her bareback, and he'd go off to milking, and he'd be like, I'll see you at the shed. And I'd be like, okay. And I was like, so tiny, like, in hindsight. I mean, that's why our kids are built differently. We're a little bit like, you know, oh, you fall off, oh, that sucks.
It's okay. My dad used to literally put me on his lap and let me drive the car when I was 11. Yeah. So let's, you know, just
fun
different
life
times.
Life is just different.
Different times.
Fun kids are different kids. And so we, like, that was my first experience with, like, Blondie, like, riding her just bareback around the farm. And then when we moved off the farm and got more, like, I guess what you call over here, like, a hobby farm, like, small, we call it, like, a lifestyle block in New Zealand. And so Mum and Dad have always been involved in racehorses. So we had Miss Peggy. So she was a broodmare, and so she came to our house, and she had her baby. Carrot Gold was her baby. And so we obviously didn't ride Miss Peggy, but I know, it's such a cool name. So we had her for a while, and then I kind of was like, all right, I want to do like pony club and stuff, but don't have a pony. And Dad, you know, we're from a very small town, and my dad is, or was, he's retired now, a car salesman. And if you've ever met a car salesman, they literally know everybody in town. Like, you know, they know everybody. And again, they've always been connected to racehorses. So he found a lady who had a daughter was away at university. So she was like, yeah, you can ride her. She was a beautiful paint and lady was her name. And so I got to ride her. And then I pretty much just borrowed people's leftover ponies for a good couple of years. Like, people who were like, got this thing sitting in a paddock, you want it? And I was like, yeah, like, cool. And so, like, one of my favorites was Hugh, great name. He was a Welsh Arab that tried to throw me in the hedge every ride. Like, I'd come in and Dad be like, did he win today? And I was like, yes, he did win. And he was like, oh, well, did you get back on? I was like, yes. And he would be like, well, then you won the second half. And I'm like, okay, yeah, that's true. But, like, in the summer, the Arab in him, oh my gosh, he was like the most handsome, you know, 13-2 pony you'd ever seen. But boy, was he a bit of a jerk.
I'm such a sucker for a pony. I love ponies. Yeah, like, if I could just have a large pony to flail around on, I'd be very happy.
Yeah.
Yeah.
He teach you a lot. He definitely taught me how to fall off a lot. And then Dad was like, I think it's time for us to find you something that's like not going to be here for like 6 months. And I was like, okay, cool. And so my budget was $500. So we went through a number of different thoroughbreds. And finally this one day Dad was like, again, he goes, got a call, know this lady. She's got a thoroughbred sitting in the middle of her paddock. You want to go check that out? And I was like, okay, sounds good. He was like, I can't go, so your sister's going to have to take you. For reference, my sister is not horsey. I've got two sisters, and one is and one isn't. So the non-horsey one takes me, right? So I get out there, and I hop on him, and I'm trotting around, and the lady's like, you know, if you want to take him out into the paddock a little bit further, like, you can. And I'm like, okay, cool. So I get out into the middle of the paddock. This, you know, 6-year-old thoroughbred hasn't been ridden in 6 months. And he starts bucking. But because he's so out of shape, Kristen, it was like in slow motion. I was laughing. I was sitting there laughing as I'm like rocking in slow motion forward and back. And I just was like, and then he finally stops. And I was like, are you done now? Okay, cool. Let's go. And so off I go. Little do I know, my sister is having an absolute panic attack back, like, at the gate. You know, all she's watching is this horse bucking. And so I get back and she was like, Dad wants to talk to you. And I was like, why? And I get on the phone and I was like, what's going on? And he was like, your sister's hysterical. Like, what's happening with this horse? And I was like, oh, Dad. I was like, it was so funny. He tried to buck, but like, it was the worst attempt at a horse bucking ever. Like, I love him. I'm going to get him. And I brought him. The horse that tried to buck me, I brought him for $500. His name was Ollie. He was a chestnut 16-2 thoroughbred.
Of course he was a chestnut.
And he was like an absolute dude. And, you know, my dad had a rule. He was like, I will make sure it's looked after in terms of its feet, you know, food, that sort of stuff. But anything you want for this horse, you've got to work for it. And I did. So, you know, I did that. I worked at the paper shop to make money. And then my mum is an interior designer and worked for like a homeware type shop. And so her boss used to train racehorses. So he was like, do you want to stop washing our windows and maybe come ride my horses? And I was like, that sounds way cooler than vacuuming and like window cleaning. So I became a track rider and would get up at the crack of dawn to pick me up outside my house. I'd go ride horses in the morning and go to school. And that was high school.
You know that like none of this is pushing your narrative of being an adult amateur, right? Like none of this. I recognize in the eventing world and people that are non-horse people that are listening to this podcast is like, are they like, what fucking language are they speaking right now? Yeah. But I recognize that like, you know, it is not a schooled, you know, we're doing dressage and stadium jumping and cross country. Like it's very different, but like, it sounds like you had some practice in there, girlfriend.
I did. And, you know, I actually in high school in my summer holidays used to go and spend time with a well-known trainer. And so I would go down there, spend holidays with him, ride the horses. And so it got to a point where, you know, my dad sat me down and was like, you have a decision to make, you know, do you want to become a jockey? Because he is offering you an apprenticeship. So you have to decide, do you want to be a jockey or stay in school? And I am grateful that I think I have always had a good head on my shoulders. And I just said to him, I was like, look, Dad, I love horses, but I also love food. And I watch those jockeys put on layers and layers of clothing, go for runs to try and drop weight. And like, I was like 15 watching that. And I was like, no, thanks. I love food. And
I was also like, love food.
I just was like, I won't be able to, like, I mean, I'm sure I could sustain that kind of weight. I was like, I just don't want to. And I was like, I'm happy with Ollie in my paddock and I'll keep riding my track job, my high school job. But I was like, I don't want to be a jockey. Like, that's just not the life for me. I was like, it, you know, I got thrown in at a very young age to witness that environment very firsthand at that big operation. And I was like, yeah, nah, not for me.
Isn't that funny how that happens? Because like I had a very similar experience in other parts of my life, both as a musician and as a dancer, where I was like heavily involved in dance, heavily involved as a musician, like could have gone either way career-wise. Mm-hmm. And I loved music. I loved playing the violin. I loved playing piano. I loved dancing. I was mm-hmm. an exceptional dancer and an exceptional musician. And I could have done that for my career, but being around it and seeing all the sacrifice that came with it sort of took away from the joy of the experience.
Yeah.
And it was almost like one of those things where I was like, I love this so much that I don't want this to be my life.
Yeah. Yeah.
It was almost like the opposite. And some people are like completely different than that. Some people are like, no, I have to live and breathe and sleep and eat the thing that makes me happy. Yeah. And, but I also say, and I've had this conversation again before, and you know, I'm all witchy and stuff. So, but mm-hmm. I do believe that like we go through those experiences because they do guide us back to what our actual purposes are. So like you're now in a position, much like I'm now in a position where in a way, all of the facets of my former life, I air quote, are huge parts of my career path, my what I'm doing now, and my loves. And it's like, it feels like a full circle, like complete moment versus just like I committed to this one thing that I really liked.
Yeah. Yeah. Exactly. And, you know, like I'm grateful for that opportunity and like learnings and stuff. But it also at a young age was like that, you know, it's a hard life as a jockey. Like I respect the hell out of those that choose that as their profession, but it is a tough life. And, you know, I was young and people didn't give a shit at the track, like how I was spoken to, anything like that. I just was like, I'd come home some days and just be like, wow, that was not so fun. The riding the horses was really fun, but wow, I didn't love how I got yelled at today. That was like, I'm like, I'm 15, man. Like, you know, and I just was like, that's not for me. I don't,
Find that like, because of that, because she was a great teacher, but, you know, kind of Abby Lee vibes a little bit in the dance world, not as intense. But, you know, I found that like a lot of the way that I was spoken to when I was in my years of training and dancing and whatnot, or even some certain, honestly, certain music, like music coaches as well too. Do you find that like because of your experience with that, it has impacted the way that you react and interact with your clients? Because I have totally taken them as lessons and been like, I never want to make somebody feel like that.
Yeah. And I think like there's better ways and doing things, right? And it's tough though, because in the back of my head, like I'm now thinking about like being a female coach in a very male dominated world, like, and having to not be assertive, but not be like so far over the other side that, you know, you're like, it means you're just like yelling at people, right? And so I think I'm lucky that I've learned to hold my own in that space, but I've done it in a way where, you know, like, yeah, sure, I definitely yell sometimes, right? Like, I'm going to call you out on your shit. If you're turning up late, you're being disrespectful. You know, I have firm lines of like, what am I like? Don't mess with me.
Well, you work with hockey boys, right? You work with, yeah. So you, I mean, it's like, yeah, you're when you're not at the barn working with equestrians, you're working with hockey boys.
Yeah. And I say that I've got like 27 sons, and that's how I treat them sometimes. And like that joke.
They probably like it. They probably really secretly like it.
Well, some of them often will say to me, like, to be honest, Nudge, we see you more than we do see our own mums. So like, you kind of are our mum. And, you know, but I'm always very clear, like, these are my pet peeves, right? When I'm speaking, you're not. Pretty simple. When anybody else in the group is speaking, you're not. Be on time. If you are late, don't pretend I didn't see you be late. Like, come at an appropriate time and like chat to me. Like, don't just hide in the corner. Although I will give what they call the death stare that says, you want to come chat to me about that? Like, and the guys know, like, if I go silent, they're like, oh, she must be pissed, because I am chatty. Like, I'm a chatty coach. So like, if I'm quiet, they're like, who's talking? Someone's
like, mom's mad.
Like,
mom is mad.
So mad, right? So they know, right? Like, I'm like, we can have a great time. Like, all my athletes I work with, I'm like, we can have a great time and lifts can be fun. But like, these little things were like absolutely do my head in. And they're just like basic, I think, again, forms of respect that we've talked about.
I was literally just going to call back. So like, literally, so I'm going to interject for a second. So when Nardine and I were talking pre-pod, we were talking about our own sort of, entrepreneurial and coaching and self-work wins, losses, etc., that we've had, and we can definitely delve into those because they were great. And one of the ones that Nardine brought up was that over the last couple of years, she discovered that, you know, she used to really value the notion of loyalty, but she's realized that it's actually been reframed, and what she values more than anything is respect. And I was like, yep, I get that. So I would love to chat about that, because that is such a good level up.
I did this course earlier this year. It was talking about your values, and you had to like write like your top 10 values, or it was like a lot where I was like, dude, like this is a lot of values to like think about. Like, I think it was more than 10, and then you had to write them down and then like rate your top 3. And so what was super interesting, and you had to get in partners and And I was like chatting away to the guy that I was partnered with. And I just had like this revelation as I was speaking to him that I was like, you know, what used to be my number one, and it's not even featuring in my top three, is loyalty. And I used to be so hung up on loyalty and like loyalty from clients, friends, whichever. And what it turned out is I was like, I don't want loyalty. I want respect. Respect of my time, respect of my, mm-hmm. like my experience, you know, totally. All the things. And I was like, you know, I'm 42 and I'm like, why is it taking me 42 years to be like, what you were looking for was just actually respect. Respect, but maybe at the, like everything.
But maybe at the time you were maybe also looking for loyalty because that's how your brain perceived respect, right? Yeah. Like, you know what I mean? Yeah. Like your idea of respect at that time was,
yeah,
was loyalty.
Yeah. And I think it's that whole, you know, like I had one of like, I mentor a young female coach at the moment and she's like the best. And she was like, yeah, I never would want to mess with you, Nads, ever. Like you, she was like, you have that authority. And she was like, but, you know, behind that authority is somebody who I can be like, I need a hug. I can be like, I'm going to this formal. Can you help me pick my dress? Or call her out on be like, you know, if she's self-doubting, I'm going to be like, is it like, what are you telling yourself right now? And sometimes I'll be like, is that like a man's opinion of what a female strength coach is? Or is that your own opinion? Like, and I'm going to mm-hmm. challenge you on that. And so I think, you know, a big part of where I get my respect from my athletes is that, and I hate saying it because it's such a cheesy word these days, but like that I'm genuine. What you see is what you get. I'm going to get mad, but I'm not going to hold on to it. Like, you apologize, we're good, we're done kind of thing, you know, like you're going to know that I'm mad at you and upset, but like, we'll move on. Likewise, if you're having a really shitty day, I'm like, do you need a hug?
I find being a coach and a trainer, like you spend so much time with these people. Like, how can you not become a level of friends with them? They are sharing the most intimate parts of themselves with you. Like, you know, you've been doing a lot of posts recently, which I really love and relate to, which is you saying like, sometimes sessions with me are we're working out. And sometimes sessions with me is 10% we're working out and the other 90%, we're just going to talk about what's going on in your life because maybe they need that. Because at the end of the day, it goes back to that respect where people stay with you and work with you because they respect what you give them. They respect the way you make them feel. You know, it's not so simply about what you give them as a, like from a functional standpoint. Anybody can be a trainer. Anybody can do what we do. Anybody can learn to do what we do. Anybody can call them an equestrian fitness coach. Anybody can call themselves a personal trainer. It's just like, but it's people buy in or continue to buy in to a person and the way that person makes them feel. And more importantly, how that person holds space for them. And I love that because it is respect. And it's so funny because I did the same thing as you for so many years where I would get, I used the term earlier, but I would get butt hurt over like the lack of loyalty. Like if someone went to someone else's class or if someone didn't want to train with me, but train with someone else and they were one of my friends, I was like, I don't understand. I thought you loved me. I thought this, I thought that. And I realized that it was because, and this was my own journey I had to go on, much like you did, as I had to realize that had literally nothing to do with me. Or my capabilities or what I could offer as a professional. And it was entirely to do with that person and what they needed in that moment and that day. And sometimes people just don't want to blur the lines either.
Yeah, for sure. And like, again, I think back to, you got to find as a coach what works for you. I always tell the story of an intern that I had in New Zealand and they had to cover a couple of sessions. And when I came back, I said to my athletes, I was like, how did he do? And they were like, and I was like, oh, like what happened? And they were like, it was so awkward, Nads. He tried to be you and it was like he failed epically. It was so weird. It was awkward. We were like, what are you doing? Like that's like, and that worked with him for a decent amount of time, but like he felt, and I so like I had to talk to him and I was like, look, there is only one Nads in this world. Like, you know, I said, apart from some fundamental things of like this is what I expect from you as my intern and that. I was like, you got to do you. Like, you got to be who you are as a coach and stuff. And like, I was honest. I was like, look, this is what the athlete said. And he was like, oh my God. And I was like, I'm telling you this so that you, like, I want you to be like your own person. You cannot be me. You also can't expect to have the same level of relationship that I have. Like, I am your superior. I am their trainer. You are the intern. And like, there is a different power dynamic there in terms of respect and stuff. And that, and it's like the same with my hockey teams, right? When I've, they are like, hockey boys are hilarious. And so an outsider can come in, see the relationship I have with the boys and the banter going backwards and forwards. And then they try to come in and the boys are like, what is this person doing, Nads? Like, what are they doing? And I'm like,
earned respect. It's an earned respect again.
Yeah. You cannot come in once a week and think you're going to have that same vibe with the boys and same connection. That has taken time for me to have that relationship and respect and stuff. So you got to earn that, you know.
What do you think got you to the point of being able to be like, oh, it's not personal if somebody doesn't want to work with me, or it doesn't, or they don't quote unquote respect me? What got you there? I know what mine is, and I'm happy to share after.
Yeah. I think it was honestly hearing that lady say to me that I am just a small piece in people's lives. I think that was a massive aha moment. I think it was just taking a step back and being like, what makes me happy? And by that, it's like, I cannot go through life living a life that is reliant on other people making me feel good. Because if I do, life's going to fucking suck.
This is 100% why I want it. No, it's fine. We swear on this podcast. You know that.
I know, you do.
We totally do. Like a sailor. I actually feel like I've been really tame. I feel like I need to drop some F-bombs. Yeah, we've been good.
I was like, God, I always get in trouble at work. But even the hockey boys are like, Nads, you were dropping some words today. Normally so filtered at work.
Sometimes when I edit these, I'm like, oof. I wanted to ask that question because it stems so much further than just like the coaching realm as well. Like, that's just like such a human question. Because it is. It's about like being more evolved, right? And just like learning that. I love the reference point you just made, and I'll expand on it a little bit. So again, pre-pod, Nardine went to a coaching seminar, a weekend, something, whatever you want to call it. And one of the mindset coaches basically called her on her shit, for lack of a better term, and was like, you're not that important to anybody else, which is like honestly a really hard lesson. And but it like my mine came in like a bigger form of that. I think you have, I know you work with teams and you get hired to work with teams and you have one-to-one clients, but mine, I think what made me really have to get the fuck over it was working for brands like SoulCycle and Barry's, where I'm teaching 60 plus people, because I still had one-to-one clients, but I was teaching 60 plus people at a time. And it was like a rollover, right? If I taught four classes in a day, like I'd be teaching to a few hundred people. I'd be teaching like to 500 people by the end of the week, and like different people, sometimes the same, sometimes this. And, and the branding made it so specific about like, you have to be the best instructor. You have to want, like, people will come to you because they want to. And what I realized is that people come to what's convenient. I mean, you might be people's favorite, but they go to what's convenient. And that rocked my world. Like, I had a lot of imposter syndrome for a really long time, and I would take it really personally if I saw my quote-unquote regulars go to another class or this, that, or the other. And then you realize that, like, to your point and to that coach's point, people don't think about that when they're booking. They're not like, oh, this is going to really hurt Kristen's feelings if I go to Chella's class. They're going, oh, I can go to the 7:30 p.m. on Tuesday instead of the 6:30 p.m. on Tuesday this week.
Yeah.
And that's
it's
it.
As simple as that, right? It's just taking that that step back, like you said, to be like, oh, I'm not the center of the universe. What do you mean?
But you made
an only child. I mean, the baby of the family thing.
But kind of only child, half siblings, but only child in my household growing up. But you made such a beautiful point earlier when you said that, like, as entrepreneurs, and I think this is a really important point is that as entrepreneurs, like our businesses, or not even just entrepreneurs, like anybody that just is in, like when it's your job, just full stop. Yeah. When it is your job, like you care about your job. It's how you get paid. It's how you present yourself. It's everything, yeah. right? And it can feel so fucking personal because when people don't consider your job, you're like, no, this is my life. Like, this is how I perceive it. This is what I think about when I go to bed. This is what I think about when I get up in the morning. Maybe not the healthiest thing, but like, we're working on it. You know what I mean? Yeah. But like, this is, especially if you're an entrepreneur, you're like, this is my like entire energetic output.
Yeah,
90% of the time. We live and breathe it. So when someone doesn't necessarily think of you, you're like, oh my God. But you're like, no, they're not thinking about your job and your life the same way that you are. They're thinking about their job and their life the way that you're thinking about your job and your life.
Yeah.
And it's sometimes that simple.
Yeah. And it really like is. And sometimes you do just need someone to, like, I'd never met this woman, obviously, like, you know, and it was just like a,
red for filth.
Such a like.
Red for filth.
Okay, you know, but I will say as well, like, I have an incredible business coach who, yes, has helped me streamline my business and all of that stuff, but the mindset work has been massive. And so I cannot thank Jess enough for that because, you know, also just reminding me, she was like, you're not going to be for everybody. She's had to learn that, you know, like, you're not, your vibe, your energy, your style of coaching isn't going to be for everybody. They might want, you know, there's going to be some writers out there who want maybe a more like of a serious person and doesn't want to know about my life. And that's cool. I'm not that person. They might want a coach who's more scientific in how they speak. I mean, don't get me wrong. I've got all the qualifications. I just don't coach that way.
Same. I can turn it on if a client asks me a question where they're like, why do we do this? I'm like, here's why. And I can talk about it from a scientific standpoint, but then I can also layman terms it and be like, you want to be able to swing that leg over that horse and not fall off the other side? Yeah. Let's talk about it.
Yeah.
You know,
like, so it's just being like, this is who I am. And maybe it's age and getting to a point where you're just like, oh, fuck, nutting. What else is going on in life? And, you know, obviously these days where it's harder than others and these business challenges that, you know, really rocks things. But I think in general, I've come to a place where trying to have more balance, where it's like, what am I doing for myself that's outside of this business? And I think once you get to know me, like, I think if you watch me, like, and again, my business coach and the people at the retreat, they were like, your biggest asset is you, Nadine. Like, you're so captivating when you're in front of people. Like, we just want to, you're funny. You talk a lot of shit, you know, like, I got a good banter and that. And then they were like, but you also like know what the hell you're talking about. And I think that just comes through and it's just like, this is my vibe and you either like my vibe or you don't.
But again, another human lesson, right? Like this stems like beyond business is it's like such a human lesson.
Yeah.
And like the more you, to your point, the more the buzzword is authenticity, right? Like, but the more you vibrate from that frequency of being the fullest, most honest version of yourself. And you and I even had this conversation, like in a message where I was like, you're going to remove the people that, you know, aren't meant to grow with you and make space for the ones that are, you know? Yeah. And that's a hard lesson, especially when it pertains, like in life, that's a hard lesson, but it's even harder when it pertains to business. Whew.
Yeah. Yeah. And like I said, you know, we were talking about earlier, you know, this morning I had a little cry and it was, you know, related to my business and I just had a bit of a overwhelming, but it was also me just processing, you know, like, you know, something had happened earlier in this week. And, you know, today I had my release where I just was like, that really like affected me and I've been trying to pretend it didn't. And so, you know, I had a cry this morning and now do I feel good? Yeah, 100%. But I think that's also, I always try to talk around the fact that I'm not the trainer who believes in diets. I drink Prosecco.
Amen.
It's my favorite, and whiskey. I'm addicted to candy.
Oh my God. Can we talk about our favorite candies for a second? I love, okay. I love, give me some Swedish fish. Like, I will fuck that shit up. Ooh, like, the whole bag.
I am judging you so
I
much.
I love Swedish
right
fish.
Now.
Judge me. Oh, I don't care. That okay. and super nibs, like the long nibs, not Twizzlers, nibs.
Yeah. Okay. Well, I'm going through a new addiction.
Okay. Please share.
And I call it that. So, the Nerd clusters. Have you had them?
Yeah.
I nearly cried. They were sold out at the superstore yesterday and it's the only place. And like one of my friends was like, what the hell? I was like, they were sold out. And like I'm very much one of those people though that like once I like something, I will have it, and then I won't have it. And so I'm currently going through that. I want it. But I'm literally smashing like a bag. I just sit there and I just finish it. So
those are, I find those very sweet. I like that. I think that if I'm going to defend my Swedish fish comment for a moment, because they kind of tie into the super nibs, is that there's something about like the fact that they're not crazy sweet, but they're sort of like squishy, but they're like hard enough that they're not gooey. That's my thing.
I think we also didn't have them in New Zealand. So like, it's not something that I'm like, I was like, had them and I was like, this is like very different. Like, I mean, we call candy lollies for reference in New Zealand. And I have like been addicted to lollies my whole life. Like if you ask any of my siblings, they're like, you are like a 5-year-old when it comes to like having, I'm just always got it. It's always somewhere in my house is I just got to have some like lollies to like snack on. But yeah, I like the sweet stuff. Like they're really sweet.
Oh yeah, no, like sugar sweet. I feel like my teeth are wearing sweaters. But I can't do that. But I do, I will say there is no, to your point of crying when your stuff wasn't there, there's no greater disappointment when you're like, oh, it's going to happen. I'm getting it. Today is the day. And then you show up and they don't have it.
Yeah. Yeah.
I was really, I'm a donut girl. Like donuts are my kryptonite in life. Like, I don't know what it is, but like, I love donuts. That was like fitness girls unhinged. Here we go.
Again, it's gone wild. A reminder. We are normal. Because normal. I think we've both experienced this as well, is like that pedestal that people can put us on. And, you know, I don't think I'd said this to you, but, or I feel like I might've, but I had a phone call with a client last week and they were just talking about how much they want to be me.
Oh.
And my body, and they've had kids, and I was like, I'm going to like be really honest. Like I have not pushed anything out of this body. I haven't grown anything. I was like, we cannot compare that. Like you've done that. I haven't. And I was like, I've also grown up, and like I had to really be like, that's just an unrealistic expectation to have my body. Like it's just, it is like, I've literally,
you're like, you don't have my genetics. You don't have my,
And it's like tough, right? Like it's a, like, again, sometimes there is that expectation where it's just, you know, you're supposed to look a certain way, all of those sorts of things. And that's not how it is. And that's why I try to be like, yeah, I've got cellulite. Some days I have abs. Sometimes I don't. I've got muscles.
Sometimes I eat a whole pack of lollies. Yeah, sometimes I don't. Sometimes I go to a donut shop in Mexico because they have my favorite donuts and they say they're open and they're closed. And then I want to commit a crime. You know, like it's normal.
McDonald's. It's like, you know, it's normal. Like we're normal. And like, it always makes me laugh. Like I think it was like last year, show season, and I went in a trailer with somebody, and like, I get into their truck, and they're like, first thing they said, they're like, not gonna lie, I was a little bit nervous about you coming with me. But I think you'll be proud of what's in my cooler. And I was like,
oh,
wow. Okay. I was like, I don't care what's in your cooler. I was like, I've got a Red Bull in mine, a Diet Coke. Yeah, I've got some fruit and a sandwich and all of like some good stuff, electrolytes. But like, they were so worried about me coming in their car and that I was going to judge them for what's in their cooler. And I was like, oh my gosh, like don't even worry. I really couldn't give a shit.
I'm like, and honestly, and all those bitches on Instagram that are posting about the smoothie that they had for breakfast and their non-carb related three tiny itty bitty meals a day, they're very jealous of the things in your cooler. They're just lying.
Yeah.
Exactly. They're just lying.
I know. And it's so funny. Like, so, or like people will see me at horse shows and they'll be like, they'll try and hide from me. And I'm like, I'm not a nutrition coach. Like, I was like,
just cracks a beer and moves on.
Yeah. Like every show season it happens, Kristen. People will see me eating something like bad, and I'm air quoting, and they'll just be like, don't judge me, nerds. And I'll be like, you do whatever makes you feel good. I'm like, you know, and again, I'm all about balance and moderation. Like I said, in my own cooler, do I certainly have electrolytes, fruit, sandwiches, of all of that. But like at the end of a show, I also want a Diet Coke.
Oh my God, I was going to say fountain pop.
I just, something about a crisp
McDonald's dollar drink days in the summer, that shit in show season fucking slaps. That is literally what I do. As soon as I'm done an event, I'm like, we're going to McDonald's and I'm getting the biggest Coke Zero.
There's something about McDonald's Coke.
I don't know what it is.
The hell it is. It just tastes so good.
Yeah, and I want the French fries. Yeah.
Also that. Yeah. But I'm like, guys, I really don't care. Sometimes I've had to call some people out, though, when they have judged me for what I've eaten. And, you know, I said to one person, that sounds like a you problem, not a me problem. Like, you're not going to make me feel bad for eating what I eat or not being, you know, the role model that you think I need to be in this area. And I'm just like, no, I'm going to eat it.
I'm a real person training real people.
Yeah. I was like,
sorry.
Yeah. This is what happens. Yeah.
I want to ask, we actually covered a lot of the questions. I put a little Instagram post up asking if anybody had questions. We covered a lot of them just organically, which I figured we would. But there's one on here that I like because it's very pointed. And they said, why would I work with a personal trainer and not just my riding coach?
Such a good question.
I know. I love this question.
Oh, I'm like, gosh, where do I even start? Because the reality is that your coach wishes you worked with a personal trainer.
That.
Gonna be honest. A lot of my clients have been referred to me because their coaches have said to them, you got to do something about what's going on. They're either holding their horses back. I'm sorry to say that. Sometimes we do. And that's like from a physical point of view. You know, if you are not progressing in your lessons and your coach is like, you know, I've had a coach be like, you know, a client was like, when do I get to do this? And they were like, when you're strong enough that you actually physically can do that. Your horse can do that, but you can't. You're not fit enough. You don't have good enough balance in the saddle. And so I say to you, if you want your riding to progress and keep going and not stagnate, you need to do the work out of the saddle, because your coach will thank you for it. There's nothing.
So are your horse.
Yeah. And oh my gosh, don't even get me started on the horse part. But yeah, like no one wants to hear their coach repeat the same cues over and over again. And stuff, but they want to see change. You want to see progress. And then, yes, as Kristen said, my hashtag for the strong rider is be a better teammate. And I believe, that we owe it to our horses to do the work outside of the saddle so that we can support them, so that we are not a sack of potatoes sitting on their backs, bouncing up and down all over their place, yanking on their reins, and doing all the things, falling off when we shouldn't fall off. When I watch some fail videos, I'm like, how did you fall off there? You shouldn't have fallen off. That's a side note. But like, you know, again, I talk to a lot of, I have clients, riders who are in the horse field in terms of treatment, like body workers, all of that sort of stuff. And they reaffirm all the time the changes that they see in horses when the rider looks after their body out of the saddle.
Yep.
So also, again, there's a lot of evidence.
I think that what people also don't realize, and this is expansive beyond horses once again, is that your riding coach, or even just like if you have a mindset coach or like a life coach or whatever, like coaching should not be like a one-stop shop. And in the sense that like hopefully your equestrian coach is a very knowledgeable coach and you're in great hands. And I love that for you, but they're not certified trainers. They're not certified life coaches. Yeah. They're not certified mindset coaches. Some of them might be, that's, you know what I mean? But unless your coach has those other qualifications, like you wouldn't go to a Tesco or a Loblaws or, you know, and go look for motor oil.
Yeah.
You're going to buy groceries.
Yeah.
I mean, I feel like some of them do have motor oil some places, but like you wouldn't be going for that. You know what I mean? You'd be going to get groceries. So why would you do the same with your training? The best versions of ourselves we can be is when we are actually trying to evolve in every aspect of ourselves.
Yeah. And if we go back to sport, there's a reason there is support staff. There's the head coach. Then there's the mental skills. Then there's the strength and conditioning coach. Then there's the physio. You know, again, we as equestrians, we're starting to get there, but like we need to realize like we're just like every other sport. We require and need every aspect of the sport, not just the coach or the horse to do everything. Like it's such a wider like issue and support needed.
When you watch like the Kentucky Five Star just happened and we watched it. And when you watch like big horse sport or any sport for that matter, but specifically I'm going to speak to horse sport because we're doing the horse thing today. But when you watched all of the people that were highly successful, they were fit individuals that you can tell take care of their fitness. You know, Boyd Martin, Oliver Townend, those types of individuals that were ranked the top one and two in the five stars. Those men strength train, those men recovery train, those men have mindset coaches, they have spiritual coaches, they have, and there's a reason why they're winning left, right, and center. And then when you hear them speak, they speak about their horses and their experience with their horses, like their partnership with them, not just from the standpoint of this is something that I got to sit on and it did the cool shit and I got to win a car. It was like a genuine relationship and partnership. It was, to your point, a teammate. And they ain't out here winning, you know, badminton seven times because they're just getting on a horse and going.
Exactly. And I think, you know, there are no red rosettes for giving everything to your horse, right? And, you know, if anything, you know, am I going to say this? You might actually save some money in maintenance care on your horse. And that's what it should be, is maintenance care, not reliant. Just like chiro, osteo, all of those modalities that I 100% support, they should be for maintenance, not a reliance on keeping your body together. And it's the same with our horse. We shouldn't need those things to keep our horses together or those things to keep our bodies together. They should be part of our maintenance plan to keep us healthy and fit and stuff. So,
and also the maintenance plans that we're putting into ourselves, which is train your body, not just if you're going to ride a horse, guys. Like if you're sitting at home being like, I don't know why I should start strength training. I don't know. List the ways. Do you want to prevent arthritis? Do you want to be able to stand longer, walk without a walker, walk without a cane? Yeah. Would you like to, you know what I mean? All of those things just from taking care of your own body.
Oh, yeah. And I'm starting to really talk about this a lot because it's such an important topic. And obviously being 42, it's something that I'm very much aware of, is just the importance of, you know, resistance training for women in terms of the health benefits and everything that we just have to consider in terms of osteoporosis, all of that sort of stuff. Menopause, perimenopause, all of the fun things that us women get. And so exercise is a big part of that. And that's something that I'm talking actively to my current clients about all the time. And I'm just like, I need to talk about this more because I'm having these conversations every week with clients about, you know, not just longevity in riding, but longevity in life and being able to do the things, being able to get out of a shower, sit down on the toilet and stand back up.
Going full circle back to the very beginning where I was like, my client was like, I want to walk up a flight of stairs without being winded.
Yeah.
Simple.
You know, and I think we could delude ourselves that we're never getting old, but we are. every year we are. And so have a body that's like still works
as best as it can without, you know, maintenance to make it function versus maintenance to just assist when needed.
Exactly.
Yeah. Okay. So we got to start to wrap this up, but you know, there's two questions that come with this podcast before the end.
Yes, I do.
She's like, I'm ready. Okay. Yeah. First and foremost, no more horse talk. Maybe it is horse talk. I don't know. What are you watching when you're not running the biz and being a mom to 27 boys?
So I'm currently watching FBI on Prime.
Okay.
Love a good cop show.
Okay.
I do. I like weirdly, I also love Rookie Blue. I love cop shows. Sometimes I've had to make sure I stop watching it like an hour before bed because it's just been giving me crazy dreams. Because it's pretty intense and some of the topics are like quite dark.
This is a podcast first. I feel like nobody's actually been like cop shows. So I'm like, oh, okay. I'm intrigued.
Yeah, no, I am on season 5. I've been binging it hard. Yeah, FBI on Prime.
Okay.
And then when I don't want to use my brain, I watch Superstore. It's hilarious. It's so funny. I just like watch it. I've watched it so many times. So those are my two like go-to right now. And then just for like fun, because he's really, hot to look at, is Tyler Cameron. it's like Reno show. I do love a good Reno show, but god damn, that boy is just pretty. And he just seems like such a nice boy. So I've been watching his new show. Yeah.
I'm so conflicted with him. I fell in love with him. I didn't know who he was. And I listened to a podcast and he was a guest on it. And he was so well-spoken and so intelligent and so just seemed like just really down to earth and nice. I was like, who is this man? And then I looked him up and I was like, dear God, who is this man? Mm. Yeah. And then I watched Special Forces. If you haven't watched that show, it's very good. If you like cop shows, I feel like you'll like that. It's a reality show, but it's more where they take reality TV stars and send them through literal special ops training. It's not done in a way where they're nice to them, and it's not done in a way where it's filmed like a reality TV show where there's like confessionals and they're like they get to go home to their cozy apartment at the end of the day. No, they like make them live and breathe it. Wow. And it's there's only a few recruits standing at the end of it. And he was on that show. And I was like, oh, and then I was like, okay, I like you more now because you're gritty and tough too. Great. But then I realized he was 30 and I was like, okay, we're not doing the younger thing anymore. Yeah. But I will.
No, I would do that in a heartbeat. age is just a number. And if Tyler Cameron,
if you're listening, Nards is available. She's
you're like, marry me. I'm like, yeah,
He comes with a caveat. The person who, because I know this from listening to the podcast, the person that he wants to marry has to be willing to relocate to his very small, I think it's Florida town, and like live there and have a lot of babies.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, sorry.
I can move to the small town. Don't know about the lot of babies.
I know the lot of babies part. You're like, I don't really know about that. I don't know how I feel.
He hasn't met me though, Kristen. Like, he just needs to meet me, and then he's going to be like, I'll do whatever.
I could change a man. It's like my favorite. Right? I think that's my favorite meme on the internet is the one that's just like, I can change him. Is he wearing diapers? Did he shit himself?
He's just so pretty. He's
very pretty.
So yeah, that's what I'm watching currently.
Okay, watch Special Forces. You'll like it. Okay. It's intense. Check that out. It's intense. Yeah. I didn't watch the first season. I watched the second season. It was interesting. Also, JoJo Siwa, as complicated as she is as a young individual, I got to give that kid props. She was hella tough on that show.
Okay.
Yeah. Yeah. No, worth the watch.
Check that out. Okay. I like it. Yep.
All right. Last question. Tell me something about your week that's been divine.
I think it just has to be the text that I got yesterday. I'm almost going to get emotional again. Just like, it honestly just brings me to tears because it was just such a beautiful text. And, you know, and then they were like, I'm nearly in tears writing this to you and telling you. And it just was just such a beautiful moment. So unexpected when I like, the, you know, their name popped up and yeah, it was just a really beautiful moment, and it just reinforced after a couple of rough days that there is a reason why I do what I do, and I genuinely loved helping people. And it just was a really nice, like, reaffirming moment. So, yeah,
it's not the how, it's the why.
Yeah.
That's, yeah. So, you know, there's nothing better than those messages. It's like, yeah. I feel like that's where you and I are so aligned. I mean, we're aligned in a lot of stuff, but like so aligned in that. And it's like, I don't think you get into the business of working with spiritual creatures and helping people change their, you know, not their bodies, their relationship to their bodies is what I like to say. I help people change their relationship to themselves. And you don't get into that unless you are just a deeply, like, truly empathetic person, because I think that word gets thrown around too lightly these days and it can feel really icky. But when you're a deeply empathetic person where you're like, I just want to help. I just want to help somebody.
Yeah.
You know, and then you get those messages. You're like, oh my God, we're doing it. We're doing it right.
Yeah. You know, and it's like, it's reaffirming, like, words of affirmation is one of my main love languages as well. Mm-hmm. So definitely those texts are, I think, even more powerful because that is my love language. And so, you know, when I get stuff like that, it really, you know, I try to express to my clients when they, like, just how much those messages really do mean to me.
Same.
So, yeah. So that, I would say, is my divine. Yeah.
So those of you that are listening, make sure that you all send Nardine a message after this and tell her just how much you loved listening to her on the podcast. You can send those to me too, because that's always nice for me as well. Thank you. Kind regards.
Yeah. Send me all the love.
Send her all the love. All right. That's it. Happy freaking Wednesday, everybody listening. Mm-hmm. Nardine will be back because there are some exciting things in the works for this podcast coming down the pipeline over the next little while. So all of the equestrians listening, watch this space, and all of those that you just like to listen to my voice for, you know, hours on end, then you can watch this space too. That's it.
Yeah.
That's all she wrote. Happy Wednesday. I love y'all. Thank you, Nardine. Oh, where can people find you? Where can people, I didn't do that. Where can people find you? That's important before we go.
You can find me pretty much everywhere. On Instagram is where I'm at most. So the.strong.rider. You can also find me on TikTok. Same thing, same handle. My website, www.thestrongrider.com. Yeah, they're my three main platforms where you can send me a message and chat and come hang out with me and come work with me, because I'm fabulous.
She is fabulous. She's fucking delightful. No, I love you. I'm so glad that our paths crossed. I'm so glad that I met you. I'm so glad that I met another horsey, witchy, wonderful fitness woman. And like I said, this will not be the last time Nardine's on the pod. All right. That's officially it. I'm done. We're done now. Okay. We're leaving. Mic drop. Divine whining out.